From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, February 22nd. Coming up, new Illinois Congressman Eric Sorensen talks about his assignment to the House Ag Committee and the chances of getting a new farm bill passed by September. That story in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is joining 19 other Democratic governors in launching what they say is a nonpartisan coalition to protect and expand reproductive rights. Cameron Cutinello reports.
Pritzker says the Reproductive Freedom Alliance will allow governors to better communicate and share ideas from their respective states that protect abortion rights.
We haven't had a formal alliance and opportunity to share those ideas. To be honest with you, I think we have good ideas in Illinois that need to be shared with other states. And so I'm happy to be part of it, both to receive information and also to provide it.
Pritzker says one issue he hopes the coalition will look into is how to prevent women from being prosecuted in their home state when they travel to get an abortion. Other Midwest states in the alliance are Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. I'm Cameron Cutinello.
Remote work may offer rural America an opportunity to draw new residents who otherwise might not consider living there. Chris Merritt is director of the Illinois Institute for Rural Affairs at Western Illinois University. He says it's a possible solution to address rural population declines, but communities also need to figure out how to attract these workers.
I'm optimistic that if you can convince local places to proactively think about their future, come together to think about their future, really great things can happen.
Merritt says rural communities need to be thinking about things like reliable broadband access, infrastructure like passenger rail and highways, and community-owned or cooperative grocery stores as they make their towns a more attractive place for remote workers to live. During his State of the State address, Governor J.B. Pritzker proposed $20 million to increase grocery store access. As Illinois Newsroom's Sarah Nardi reports, that could be good news for rural areas where food deserts are a growing concern.
When a small-town grocery store closes, there's often nothing to take its place. Sean Park is with the Illinois Institute for Rural Affairs. He says those stores are closing at a fairly rapid rate, and for similar reasons.
Declining population in rural areas, the silver tsunami from all the baby boomers retiring, there's nobody coming back in.
And that, combined with declining income, he says, makes rural areas less attractive to new businesses. Governor Pritzker says the Illinois Grocery Initiative would help establish independent stores in the communities they serve. His budget proposal still needs approval from state lawmakers. I'm Sarah Nardi.
New leadership is coming to Urbana High School. The Urbana Board of Education voted unanimously late last night not to renew the 2-year term of Principal Taryn Nance. The board and Superintendent Jennifer Ivory Tatum declined to comment as to why Nance was let go. Student Serenity Dodge told the board why she thought Nance should stay.
Principal Nance is funny, nice, and positive. Very cool. Every time I see him, he's smiling or helping students get to where they need to be. But he does a lot for us, and changing a principal will not help.
Nance came to Urbana from Maryland and created programs to deter youth violence. The board says it will start a national search process soon with input from UHS staff and families. The board also voted to move 2 assistant principals at the high school to lower-paying positions elsewhere in the district. Still to come, a conversation with new Illinois Congressman Eric Sorensen. His district includes much of northwestern and central Illinois. That's coming up next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Central Illinois Congressman Eric Sorensen has started his first term in Washington with an assignment that's significant to much of his congressional district. Sorensen's appointment to the House Agriculture Committee comes at a critical time. The clock is ticking to pass a new farm bill before the September deadline. Sorensen is a Democrat from Moline, whose district includes Rockford, Peoria, and part of Bloomington Normal. Sorensen tells Eric Stock it's vital Congress come to agreement on a way to help farmers and provide nutrition assistance.
When I think about the connection that Bloomington, Normal, Peoria have to Rockford and the Quad Cities, it's farming. It's agriculture. We feed the world. And you know, in the Farm Bill, you know, my job is to be the advocate for the farmers. I want to make sure that we put the right people at the table to make the decisions together. It won't be a decision that I make wholly. It's a decision that we make together. And we need bipartisanship on that. You know, I'm really, you know, optimistic, you know, especially going into the Agriculture Committee in a Farm Bill year that happens every 5 years, that we're going to be able to follow the data, follow the science, and make the best decisions that are going to affect our farm families for the next generation.
And a big part of the Farm Bill is nutrition and supplemental assistance. There's also a lot of protections for farmers. Are there particular areas that need more funding in your view? And are there any areas that you feel could be trimmed if it comes down to that?
Well, certainly we need to make sure that SNAP benefits remain in their entirety. I believe that we've got a great delegation in Congress from the state of Illinois. Myself with alongside Nikki Budzinski, Jonathan Jackson. And so we're going to be able to fight not only for the family farmers, but to make sure that food assistance remains in the Farm Bill, because we know that that's something that that members on the other side of the aisle want to cut. And we know that that's got to be taken off the table. You know, we also need to make sure that that we support, for instance, you know, a lot of our farmers are producing corn for ethanol. We have to make sure that E15 is able to be used all year round. But then it's taking it one step beyond that. And that's where, you know, not to jump too far ahead, Eric, but, you know, we need to make sure that the innovation is there for our farmers going forward, such that we're working with aviation companies to make sure that biofuels are being refined such that the standards are going up and up, so that the airline industry will accept biofuels. Because then as the demand for ethanol goes down, the demand for biofuels goes up, and then, you know, farmers can be more part of the solution.
And going back to SNAP benefits, advocates have asked Congress to separate SNAP employment and training from SNAP eligibility. They argue that it actually reduces benefits for the people who need them. Would you support additional funding to allow for that?
We need to make sure that the funding is connecting for the people that need it. I think that's first and foremost. And that's, you know, I think the way that we look at it today, the argument that we're going to have with folks on the other side, they just want to slash and cut from the budget. We need to make sure that the people that are struggling to make ends meet have what they need. And it is a government's role to make sure that we're providing for the people that need it. So as it's not just about creating opportunities, but as we're creating these opportunities, we got to bring people along. And as we bring people along, you know, I think that's an open and shut, you know, thing to look at.
Are you optimistic that a farm bill can be approved by the September deadline with a divided Congress?
Absolutely. I mean, it's going to take a lot of hard work. You know, looking at the members on the committee, I see a great ability for us to work in a bipartisan manner. In fact, you know, I've already had substantive conversations with members on the other side of the aisle concerning some of the things that we talk about. And that's why, you know, as a meteorologist, as somebody who has studied science for the better part of my life, it's making sure that we're following the data and the science, and we're able to check the politics at the door. And I'm really optimistic, not only in my agriculture committee being a part here, but in the science committee, we'll be able to do that.
That was Central Illinois Congressman Eric Sorensen with Eric Stock. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be cloudy today, with showers and thunderstorms likely, and a high of 62 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Cameron Cuttinello, Tim Shelley, Sarah Nardi, Emily Hayes, and Eric Stock. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.